Last Sunday morning, we began a lesson from the book of Colossians, and we talked about some things in the first chapter. The Lord's willing, this morning I'd like to go further with that study into chapter 2, and perhaps tonight then look at chapter 3 and 4 if we can finish that. If not, we'll try to finish that life's lesson on another time later on down the road somewhere, the Lord willing. But as we think about the epistles that were written, the prison epistles, and the things that Paul wrote to the brethren in that day and time, there are so many things that are like to the things that we face today as Christians. And first of all, realize that every generation of people that live on this earth are going to be faced with trials and troubles. Some may come from outside forces, some may come from within, but we're all faced with the temptation to sin. And as Paul wrote to the church of Colossae, we see that he gave them some important information that would help them to stay firm, to stay holding on to the gospel, to be true to God. He addressed it to those people who had been baptized into Christ, those baptized believers that made up the church there at Colossae, to the faithful saints, the faithful brethren there in Christ. And Paul, last Sunday morning, I want to review just briefly some of the points we talked about in that first chapter. Paul was thankful for their faith and for the love that these brethren had. He was encouraged by the fact that they were serving God. He talked about the fact that they had hope through the gospel, verse 5, and how that without the gospel there'd be no hope. So we have that same hope today, the hope of heaven, the assurance of heaven. He talked about the fact there in chapter 1 and verse 6 that these Christians at Colossae were bearing fruit and they were growing. That simply means that they were knowledgeable of what God would have them to do, virtue of what Paul and the other faithful brethren had taught them. And so they knew what to do, and so they were putting those things to action in their life. Therefore, they were growing spiritually. They were having spiritual growth. And so we noted last week that we also required as Christians today to grow spiritually, to get into the Word of God and study it, and learn what God would have us to do and apply those things to our life so that we might grow strong, that we might become spiritually the kind of people that God wants us to be. And when we do that, we not only please God, but we set a good example to other people also in the life that we live. We went further and looked at about two or three other points in chapter 1 last week. How that Paul prayed for these brethren that they would grow, and that they'd walk worthy in the Lord. We know they were growing spiritually, and he prayed that they would continue to grow in knowledge and grace and in the things that they ought to have, and that due to that growth spiritually, having a knowledge of God's Word and applying it to their life, the result would be then that they would walk worthy in the Lord. So for me today, and for you as a Christian, and for the church here at Beulah, as we live our lives and we serve God, our goal is to walk worthy in the Lord. And the only way we can do that is know what the Lord requires of us and believe that and apply it to our life by faith. He also talked about the fact that faithful Christians then who serve God have the greatest blessings that anyone can have, and those blessings come from God in Christ Jesus. So we ought to be thankful every day for the blessings that God bestows upon us, the forgiveness of sins, the sharing of His Word with us, the grace that's bestowed upon us, the mercy that He's shown in giving His Son giving His life and shedding His blood, and for God Himself giving His will and His way to us that we can read it, that we can understand it, and then that we are able to obey it. So we have all these blessings that are ours to enjoy in Jesus Christ. And then Paul went further then in chapter 1, and he talked about the fact that when the gospel is taught, that the preaching of the gospel brings Christians then, when we hear that word and we believe it and we obey it, it helps us to be complete. The gospel gives us everything that we need as far as what we need to know. It tells us how to act and how to do so that we can obey those things, so that we can continue to grow and be spiritually strong and bear fruits for Christ and grow up in Christ then, that we would act like children of God. That we would act like men who are serving God and not men who serve the world. That our life would be surrounded by the Word of God, that it would be involved in our life. So Paul talks about the importance of the preaching of the gospel and our reception to that gospel. Let's continue now in chapter 2 this morning and look at a few points. I don't know how many points we'll be able to cover I'll cover the points that I feel like I'm able to this morning and then stop the class at that point and then go further, the Lord's willing, tonight. But in chapter 2 of Colossians, we see that as Christians, as Paul wrote to the saints and the faithful brethren there, those faithful Christians, he says, there are some things that Christians have because we've been bought with the blood of Christ, we've been added to the Lord, we belong to His family, and we're enjoying these things in Christ Jesus because we're serving Him faithfully. There are some things that Christians have. And he says in verses 1 through 3 there in Colossians chapter 2, that we have full assurance, knowledge, and understanding through the gospel and through Christ. That's the only way we can have that, is from God's word, through the gospel, through Christ, that when we obey it, we have that full assurance of knowing that we are obeying the truth, that we have the truth and we're serving God. The gospel then is what we need to be leaning toward, getting involved in, and learning God's will for us, because without obedience to the gospel, we cannot be saved. As Adam mentioned in the class this morning, the Bible study class, the gospel is God's power to save, Romans 1:16. And so we are called by the gospel, as Paul noted in different epistles, as he wrote to the churches, we are called by the gospel of Christ. So here in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul says that Christians who are serving God faithfully not only have assurance, but we have full assurance. We have the knowledge we need and the understanding we need through the gospel of Christ, what God done for us through Christ in establishing His will and His way, to fulfilling the law of Moses and putting the law of Christ into effect, that we might have that assurance and that knowledge and that understanding. Let's look at verses 1 through 3 of Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to read from the New American Standard Version this morning. He says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself." Then verse 3 says concerning Christ and the gospel, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So when Paul wrote to these early Christians, and perhaps some of them may have been at one time part of obeying the law of Moses, that law of Moses was just a forerunner to bring them to Christ. The law, the Old Testament, was a forerunner to bring us to Christ. And the things that were not revealed, but that were prophesied through the God, through the law, down through the ages by the prophets and the teachers of God's Word, inspired men, those things were fulfilled in Christ. And because they were fulfilled in Christ, and we have that knowledge today, we have full assurance of knowing that what we're believing and obeying came from God. And that His Son came and lived lived a perfect life and left the example for us to follow, that He shed His blood for us. So as Christians, one thing we need to be thankful for, at least three things mentioned in these three verses, is the full assurance we have, the knowledge and the understanding that is ours to enjoy through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's go back and look at verses 2 and 3 again of Colossians chapter 2. "That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding." Our understanding today comes through the gospel of Christ. We understand in the gospel what was leading up to us through the law, and what the gospel then is for us, and that we're guided by it today. The full understanding is revealed through God's revelation to the inspired men who penned the words of the Bible, who revealed to us about God and His Son and His sacrifice. The full assurance of understanding resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself. God had promised Abraham of his seed that He'd make a great nation of his seed. All men would be blessed through his seed. There would come a Savior that would put a damper on Satan, that would overcome death. And through Christ, we have that assurance that we're going to be raised from the dead. We have that assurance and the knowledge of knowing that Christ was raised from the dead. We have that assurance and knowledge of knowing that if we obey the gospel and are faithful to it, we can have a home in heaven when this life is over. But in regard to the gospel and what was revealed through the gospel, the completion of God's plan to man through Christ and His life and the inspired men. When Christ sent the inspired Word, sent the Holy Spirit to these men that He promised to in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, before He sent it into heaven, He said, "I'll send you the comfort of the Holy Spirit that'll guide you into all truth." And He sent that to them. They received that on the day of Pentecost, and they were able to go forth with signs and wonders and miracles and knowledge to do the things they needed to do to teach others about Christ and God and God's will and way and about salvation. And they were able then to have those things translated to us through the Holy Bible today, that we may know those things. So it's through the gospel, through Christ and what He did, and the knowledge we that comes from reading the gospel, that gives us full assurance. So we don't need to lean on man's ideas. We don't need to lean back to the law of Moses. We need to trust in what God has done for us through His Son and through His Word. I want to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at a few verses there, where when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he talked about the fact that what God has done for us, He has done through Christ Jesus, who came and lived and died and shed His blood on the cross for us. And so many people then, when they hear about Jesus, and then to hear that He came and lived and He died on the cross and was put in the tomb and rose again the third day, they count that foolishness. They say there can't be anything to that. He could not have been raised from the dead. And this is not any kind of thing that we need to listen to, but it is. Paul says that some people count the preaching of the cross foolishness, but because of that foolishness, they're not going to be able to understand because they turned their hearts against that. And we need to listen to the gospel because it is the truth. So what's counted foolish in the eyes of men that don't obey God is counted as salvation to those who hear, believe it, and obey. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Beginning of verse 8, he says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Paul said to the Colossians, you got full assurance and knowledge and hope in who, in what? In the gospel, in Christ Jesus. He goes on in verse 19 there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and he says then, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." So, where do we have assurance, knowledge, and understanding? In the gospel that's taught. In the news of Jesus Christ. Now go back to verse 22 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Says, "For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom." But verse 23, Paul says, "But we preach Christ crucified." Now notice how that affects some people. "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." So our full assurance and our knowledge and understanding comes from God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through the message of the gospel. Verse 25 now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring nothing to these things that are." Now look at the next three verses. Verse 29 through 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that is, it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord." So when Paul wrote to the church at Colossae in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, he talks about that full assurance that we have as Christians through the gospel, that knowledge we have from God that revealed to us through the gospel and by the gospel, through the preaching of the gospel, and the understanding we have of who we are and what God wants us to do and what we want us to be. So, faithful Christians have that full assurance, knowledge, and understanding, and we don't need to let anyone of the world or any one of any other teaching that may be outside the bounds of the Bible lead us away and take that assurance from us. Secondly, this morning, we see that faithful Christians should have and will have discipline and stability in the truth. When we receive the gospel and we obey the truth, it makes us have stability. We're anchored in obeying God because the truth keeps us within the lines of what's right. It keeps us going in the right direction. Look at verses 4 through 8 of Colossians chapter 2. I want to read again from the New American Standard Version. He says, I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Then verse 8 he says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. So when we believe the gospel and we obey the gospel by faith and we're God's children and we're studying the gospel and obeying it, we will have discipline in our lives by the gospel. By that we are disciplined and obey the gospel by what it tells us to do. So we're living in keeping with the will of God. And when we serve God obeying the gospel, we have stability in the truth that keeps us on the right road, the right direction going toward heaven, so that men or the doctrines of men or the traditions of men or the teachings of men or anything else is not going to pull us away. We all need stability. We all need discipline in our lives so we can keep as we ought to be. It's not just necessary to have discipline in our life as Christians so that we can be spiritually right and spiritually strong, but whatever it is in our life, there takes a certain amount of discipline. If you have a job to go to on a work week, Monday through Friday, or whatever days you may work, it takes a certain amount of discipline to be able to get up in the morning on time and prepare yourself and be at work on time. And it takes a certain amount of discipline to do that job so you can perform that job and keep that job. And so we train and we teach discipline from a time where just a small child all the way through life. It takes discipline and stability to get through life itself in a successful manner. But more so in serving God and doing His will, Christians then can have discipline and will have discipline and will be stable and firm and not be taken away from the truth and outside of God's Word when we listen to the gospel and obey the truth of God's Word, which comes from God through Christ, the inspired Word of God. Thirdly, this morning, as we look at Colossians chapter 2, we see that verses 9 through 17, that as Christians, we have complete salvation and security in Jesus. Paul emphasizes over and over again the fact that it is in Christ and only in Christ. And outside of Christ, we cannot have salvation. Outside of Christ, we cannot please God. But it is only in Christ and through Christ and by the gospel that we can come to God in obedience and have salvation. No one else could take away our sins. It was just Christ who could do that. No one else had the ability to do that because Christ was the perfect sacrifice. We have complete salvation and security in Christ in that we don't need to look elsewhere for instructions. We don't need to go to the doctrines and traditions of men. We don't need to come up with our own ideas. We just need to submit to what's taught us through the gospel, through the truth, to have complete salvation. Because Paul says, in the gospel, in Christ, you have complete salvation. There's nothing else needed. Because salvation is there in Christ and in Him alone, and you've got that security then of knowing where you are because you're obeying Christ. Look at verses 9 through 17 of Colossians chapter 2. For in Him, he's been talking about Christ, for in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him you have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority. You see, when God sent Christ and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, He gave Him authority over all things to it. He is our Savior. He's our head. He's the foundation of the church. So in Him we have salvation and security. Verse 11 of Colossians chapter 2. And in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. What Paul is saying, you've been cut to the heart. You've been pricked in your mind. Your heart has been changed through the words of the gospel because you've heard the truth and you believe the truth and you're obeying the truth. It's not the circumcision of the flesh, it's the circumcision of the heart. Without hands and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. How does this happen? Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Verse 13 of Colossians 2. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. You see, there's the complete salvation. God through Christ has the ability to forgive all our transgressions. And when we come to Him, we are forgiven of all our sins when we obey Him by faith, what He asked us to do. And we have that security of knowing that we're doing the right thing because it comes from God through Christ. Verse 14 then, going through verse 17. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Before we read those next three verses, let's note that many people today go back and pull things out of the law of Moses and bind them today as law to be obeyed by us when we're no longer living on the law of Moses. Christ fulfilled that. He fulfilled the law and took it out of the way that He might put what? His law, the gospel, the grace, the mercy that comes to God through Christ into effect. Having nailed it to the cross, verse 14, when He had disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. So, it's no longer the law of Moses that we need to go back to. We need to go to the law of Christ because in it is complete salvation and security. Verse 17. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So Paul said, don't go back to the law of Moses. Don't reach back to the priesthood. Don't go back to the offering of animal sacrifices. Don't go back to the traditions of men. But what we need to do if we want complete salvation, true salvation, real forgiveness, and security of knowing that we have been forgiven and we can continue to be forgiven and we can go to heaven, that's found where? Only in the gospel. Only in Christ Jesus. So, the last point we'll cover this morning is found from verses 18 through 20 of Colossians chapter 2, where Paul says that when we determine to overcome ideas and doctrines of men, that as Christians we can do that. That we know that in Christ we can beat error. We can overcome things that are not true. We can realize what the truth is and overcome things that may be taught by the majority of people that will not listen to the Bible. We go back to Matthew 7, 13 and 14. The Bible teaches that only a few will follow the straight and narrow way. That the broad and the wide way, the wide gate, the broad way leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But Paul says, when we're faithful Christians, we're going to have the determination in our heart and in our life because we understand the truth, we know the truth, we're living in the truth, we're obeying the gospel, that we're going to be led by the gospel. And when we do that, we can overcome anything that man may throw at us. We can overcome error with truth. We can overcome doing things that are wrong by doing that which is right that's found in the gospel. Let's look at verses 18 through 20 now of Colossians chapter 2. Verses 18 through 20 of Colossians chapter 2. I'm having trouble focusing, so give me just a minute. I found it now. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize, by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments grows with a growth which is from God. We see then in verse 20, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as the things that's going to be discussed in the next few verses there that man would have you to obey? So he says you need to be determined to overcome the ideas and the doctrines of men. How? Through the gospel and by the gospel. And when we obey that, we can overcome error by practicing the truth, because we know the truth from God's Word. Go back to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, and we see that certainly when the same apostle that wrote to the church at Colossae, whenever he was talking to the church at Galatians, there were some there that had been hindered by false teachers and false doctrines and things that were not right, things that men were coming up with. And Paul even taught in that letter that it's dangerous to listen to the doctrines of men. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, it says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. Verse 9, he says, as we have said before, so I say now again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. And I want to read verse 10 there in Galatians 1 also. Paul says, Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So Paul reiterated time and again in the epistles he wrote to different congregations and different Christians, not just to Colossae but others, that when we hear the gospel, we understand the gospel, we receive the truth, we're obeying the truth, we have a knowledge of what God wants us to do, we have the assurance of knowing that if we obey it, we're going to go to heaven, we're going to be saved, that in obeying that gospel, we discipline ourselves, we find ourselves rooted and grounded in the truth. We have complete salvation in Christ and in Christ alone. Our security of going to heaven is in Christ and through His Word. And when we have that, we'll be determined to what? Overcome the ideas and the doctrines of men by virtue of the fact that we've received the truth, we're obeying the truth, and the doctrines of men cannot overwhelm the truth and take it away from us if we'll hold fast to what God would have us to do, and that is obeying the gospel. I want to conclude this morning by going back to those verses that was read in the Bible reading this morning. We go down to Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And we see that certainly in Christ is where we want to be. And let's go to verse 6 of Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. He says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Now let's look at verses 9 and 10. In Christ and in Him and in His Word. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority. I just wanted to take a few things this morning from the book of Colossians, and the Lord's willing, tonight we'll look at a few more points from this book. We'll begin in chapter 3 and look at a few points, and then maybe get another lesson or two down the road somewhere, the Lord willing, to complete the overview of the book of Colossians. But nonetheless, whether we're studying from Colossians or whether we're studying from any other book of the Bible, it is the inspired Word of God. We need to be concerned about listening to God, believing His Word, applying His Word to our life, that we might be spiritually attuned to Him, that we might faithfully serve Him. If you're here this morning and you've never been baptized into Christ and you're willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins and be baptized, you can leave this building with your sins forgiven. If you're here this morning and there's something in your life, perhaps as a Christian, that you need to correct in a public way, if we can help you with that, then we'd be glad to do so. Matthew is going to lead us in the invitation song, so if anyone is subject to the invitation, please respond at this time.